Hello and welcome, everyone, to the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri podcast with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley. Sponsored by the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another episode of Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the best of the best. Bev and I interviewing people for Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. And I got to really tribute it all really to Bev because she does such an awesome job in doing these interviews. So thanks, Bev.
Yeah, I know how to talk.
I bet you learned that at an early age.
Yeah, and you know what? My dad taught me how to listen, listen to people, you know, and I think that's more important than the talking.
Well, I tell you what, that's a real trait, a real talent. So, yeah, your dad was probably right. Yeah. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you at this time, Josh Steiner. Welcome, Josh, to Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I tell you what, Josh, you and I visited just briefly before we began the recording. And so we just want to just thank you so much for graciously consenting to being our special guest here today on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community in Missouri. We're going to start off talking about your vision loss. So if you would be so kind, tell us a little bit about your vision loss.
So I was born with a condition. It was a gift from my mother. it was called Leber's congenital amaurosis. It's kind of like a form of RP. It's taken me on a journey mostly from between the ages of 13 and 18. There was a time where, you know, I was going to sleep and waking up and not able to do some of the things I was able to do the day before. And that kind of created a sense of anger for a little bit. I think that's kind of been the hardest part of the blind journey, but it wasn't until the seventh grade I learned about the Missouri School for the Blind in St. Louis. And that was a great journey because I took the plunge and attended there originally for 6 weeks, the KEYS program. And I ended up loving it and ended up staying and graduating, but I started learning all of the different ways blind people can do all the things we need to do to become successful, productive members of society. So it's been a great journey.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that with us, Josh. You touched on something there just a second ago. You went through that stage of, you know, experienced the anger. Were there any other types of mental adjustments that you had to overcome? You mentioned the anger. Were there any other things that you had to conquer? Any other challenges?
There's a lot. There was, it started with anger, then it became a little bit of a serious depression, and then also there was a lot of like self-doubt. I was like, you know, how can I get through not being able to see, but fortunately I had great parents who challenged me to consistently and continuously get out of my comfort zone, do more things, participate in more and more activities, and it served me well. Yeah, but that's basically been the biggest challenges.
Okay. Well, let me say, Josh, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your openness and honesty in sharing that with us. We don't really rarely, when we ask these different types of questions, to get people to open up and express their feelings and how they were able to adjust to their blindness. So thank you so much for your openness and honesty in sharing those things with us. Let me ask you too, Josh, do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have two sisters and a stepsister.
Okay. And were you the only one that was affected by this disease in your family other than your mother?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Very good. And where do you make home at? Where is it exactly? Where do you make home?
Sedalia, Missouri.
All right. Very good. Well, Josh, I know we've got a lot of questions for you. Bev's always got some very exciting questions, and I always love listening to her questions. And I'm going to push it over to her in just a second. But let me also ask you, how difficult was it since you had siblings, and of course, both you and your mom being visually impaired, and you've already touched on it. But what other types of challenges, not just mental challenges, but like physical challenges, that maybe you have experienced, whether your time going to the Missouri School for the Blind or just living at home?
Well, you know, in dark settings is when my visual impairment is most noticeable. So, like, sometimes late in the evening, I'll be walking, I'll run right smack into the wall.
Oh, yeah, we've all done that.
There's been times at MSB, I was walking and I missed the drop off for the first step and ended up falling a few steps. Now, the biggest adventure is getting into an elevator and then trying to find the right button to press.
Yeah, that's right. Share with us a little bit about your work history. Have you had an opportunity, much of a work history?
I work with my buddy buying and selling cars. We work on cars. You know, detailing, I also help my dad, when he does his Walmart delivery, unload the truck.
Well, you know, those are really some really good jobs, you know, doing any detail work. I mean, I love that. And helping your dad, like you said, I love that as well. So that's great. So let me ask you, just kind of going back a little bit about your vision loss, do you have any remaining?
Yes.
Okay.
I tell people I've got enough to get in trouble.
Okay.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah, really, I'm proud of it. You put your personal stamp on it. That's right. Yeah, my goodness. All right, so thanks again, Josh, for sharing that with us. But I love that, being able to do any detail work, because that sometimes that takes a lot out of you. That's a lot of hard work, and like you said, doing those Walmart deliveries too. So thank you so much. All right, I'm going to push it over to Bev. I know she always has some really great questions.
Well, Chip always gets me started here, and then I have to go back. And okay, Josh, that had to be very difficult at that age, you know, to, that transition from being independent and in the sighted world, and then all of a sudden have those obstacles to deal with at age, what did you say, 13, 14? Somewhere around there.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that had to be very difficult. And were you going to public school at that time?
I was in public school from my last year was sixth grade.
Sixth grade, and you already developed friendships at that point, right?
A few, yeah.
Yeah.
Not many.
So going to the Missouri School for the Blind, I bet you developed some stronger friendships because you were all in the same boat, so to speak, and they understood some of those difficulties.
Yeah, it definitely gave us a unique bond, that's for sure.
Good, good, good. And, you know, what about the sports? You know, because I know when I was in school, that depth perception, I was terrible at volleyball and baseball and all that because I didn't have the depth perception, you know. And so being able to adjust your sports for the visually impaired, that had to be a whole new world to you. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was actually my first attraction to MCB, well, not MCB, MSB, excuse me. Because when I got into sixth grade, I was trying to get involved in the public schools, but they wouldn't let me. They kept saying, oh, there's a liability. But then, MSB, they had a sports program, and I was like, well, I'll try it, and we'll see how it goes. I love track. I mainly love goalball. I got into every single sport they had because I couldn't do it at my old school. And then the rest was history.
Yeah, and new opportunities opened up for you.
Absolutely. It allowed me to get involved in the Beta Club, many book clubs. It really allowed me to explore the world other than blindness.
Yeah, that's great. And you mentioned the KEY program. I think I was around when they first started that. You want to talk about that with Missouri School for the Blind?
Yeah. So the KEYS program is a program where you attend at MSB and, they'll teach you Braille, orientation, mobility, all the different fun stuff that you need to be successful while being blind. And at the end of that 6-week program, you have a choice whether to leave and apply it in the public school, or you decide you want to keep exploring and officially become a member of the Missouri School for the Blind.
Yeah, and that's in the summer, right, when they have that? So you can make that?
No, they do it in the middle of the school year. So what they do is you stay while you're at attending the MSB and technically a member of the public school district that you came from. But, all the state funds and whatnot goes to MSB instead of that public school or whatnot. That's what I understand it to be. And you could attend during the regular school year. But I do have a summer program, though.
Yeah, and that summer program, it touched on more areas besides Braille, the academic part, correct? Like daily living?
Yes.
Yeah. So you learned how to clean your room, right?
Yeah. My mom.
I'll talk to your mom about that. Oh, well, did you ever have this desire then to go back to the public school, or did you say, hey, I'm done with that. I'm sticking with Missouri School for the Blind.
After I learned about all the things that MSB offered, I had no desire to go back.
It wasn't
a resentment kind of thing. It was just, I'm going places here, so if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's great. And I know then you had to decide then, because being residential with there, that you had to give up being in your own bed at home and making your new home with MSB.
Which that was actually a unique experience. I mean, I'm glad that I was able to experience it, because it allowed me to kind of get out of the comfort of having mom and dad there. Of course, they're always a phone call away if I was struggling and I needed them, but just having that sense that, I'm on my own, I gotta figure it out. It was great.
Wow. Did you go home on the weekends?
Some. So, of course, sports kept me very busy. So whenever I wasn't going to a different sporting event, I was going home.
Yeah. And you decide at that point, hey, I've got two homes here, and
absolutely.
That's great. That's good.
And I ended up saying I have two families. I've got my family, my MSB family, and I've got my actual family. So that was great.
Yeah. Well, I do have one other question before I turn it back over to Tip Two. Is this congenital disorder that your mom had, did any of her relatives have it? And does it skip a generation? So I know your sisters don't have it, but is it possible that any of their children will have it?
So I'm not sure if anyone else in her family had it, but sometimes it does skip a generation, so that's kind of like a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
mm-hmm.
time will tell.
Yeah. And you all know how to deal with it. And absolutely. You would be a great influence on any of them.
Yeah.
So, all right, Chip.
All right. Thanks, Bev. Really appreciate it. So, Josh, I want to start off this round by asking you, and you've already kind of touched on it, but I want to kind of dive into it a little bit deeper. Going your time at the Missouri School for the Blind, but once you've returned home and your time at home, has it been a challenge for you as far as doing any socialization or like making new friends? How well have people accepted you as someone with a visual impairment at home, around home?
Well, that's actually been interesting, because I do so many things, and it's kind of difficult to tell that I am blind at times. So I've had several friends I've not told that I've made over here, and then finally one day they saw me in a dark setting. I ran into a car, actually. What was that all about? I told them, I'm blind. They're like,
what? Was the car moving?
No, actually, the funny thing is, I'm glad I had my buddies, because the car looked like my friend's car. It was like identical car. So I was going to get into it, and someone would have really looked at me sideways.
Okay, all right. Something else I wanted to ask you too, Josh. You know, when Bev was asking about your time in school and some of the sports activities, are you a big sports fan of any kind?
Absolutely, I'm a huge Chiefs fan. So.
Yay! Good.
Hopefully, Kelce don't retire, but.
Yeah, well, we got to make it back to the Super Bowl. We can't leave off of what happened this year, so we got to make it back.
Yeah, that was a rough moment.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. So, are you either a Cardinals or Royals fan?
I'm a Cardinals fan. I live on the
right Yeah, well, I tell you what, if you were going to say Kansas City Royals, I would say, all right, Bev, let's just end this interview right now. No, not really. What about an MU Tigers fan?
I don't really do a whole lot of college football. Or sports in general.
Okay. All right. Then one last question before we move on. Is your visual impairment the only disability that you have? I mean, do you have any other type of physical disability?
No.
All right. Very good then. All right. So as right before we began the recording, Josh, we mentioned that the real purpose of doing these interviews is so that people can get to know you close and up front. But also, we want to talk about your involvement with the blind and low vision community of Missouri. So let's just start at the very beginning. How did you get started in BLVCM?
Well, my mom came in from work one day and told me, hey, I got a lot of stuff to tell you about our other organization. She started explaining to me everything. I was like, oh, wow. And then she said Jeff was looking for me because he remembered me from the last convention. She gave me his number, and I gave it a few days, and then I called him. I said, tell me about BLVCM. What is it? What are you trying to accomplish? And he explained it to me, and it was instant.
Yeah.
I knew I could work
yeah.
with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I'm one of them people, if you're willing to help yourself, I'm there to support you all the way. But if you can't help yourself, I can't help you. It was very clear that he had a vision. He was really excited about it. So now I'm out here trying to do the best I can to support him and grow BLVCM as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, and you've done such a great job, and everything that you're doing. You are currently the membership chair. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And I tell you, we continue to hear such great, wonderful reports about the job that you're doing in that position. So talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you've seen, some of the things that you've been able to accomplish, and then go from there and talk about what you would like to see in the future in that position as membership chair.
Well, I would hope that we continue to grow at a constant clip every single month. I don't want to see any month where I come to assembly meetings and say, I got nothing to report. I think even if we have one member, that's one member more than we had the month before. I have a wonderful committee consisting of Jeff by proxy. I've got Tammy, and I've got two high school friends of mine, Lee Smith and James Rogers on my committee. I've experienced a lot, lots of excitement, even being able to hear about the LVCM. Of course, when I talk to them, I've had some people that I've sat on the phone with them, explaining to them what we do and what we intend to do in the future, and we wanted to have like maybe a 30 or 40 minute conversation, something brief. It turned into 2 or 3 hours later, I'm still answering their questions, because how much excitement they have. So, I mean, the energy just before people even get to be a member is encouraging.
Yes, yeah, it is, yeah. And you mentioned Lee Smith and James Rogers, high school friends of yours. You brought them to BLVCM in just a short time. I mean, you can tell the energy and excitement that's coming from those two young men. And here they are up for being a committee chair, which is just so awesome. And that what you were just saying, Josh, about how people are working, coming together, sharing that energy, sharing that excitement and enthusiasm. And it's just so wonderful to watch. And the results of it is the growth that we have seen in this very short time of BLVCM. And you've been a big part of that. And we owe you so much in the way that you have just been able to contribute so far. So what do you see for the future? What kind of plans or ideas do you have as membership chair for the future BLVCM?
I want to get involved. You know, I really want to get into RSB, get them to promote BLVCM out there heavily, go to these doctor's appointment offices throughout the state and get them engaged and being able to refer us. I also want us not to be solely, primarily focused on just bringing in blind people, because I think it's important also to bring in the sighted and, give them ways, help them find ways to better, aid and assist us, because of, I don't think it's fair, to just be, bitter about maybe someone just trying to help us and maybe accidentally overstepping just because they don't know how to help us.
Yeah.
Because we also got to understand we are a very small part of the population.
Uh-huh.
So, we also got to be a little bit more sensitive to that. And we got to give the sighted community the tools to help us and partner with the blind community as well. Because we can't do it. None of us can do it by ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah. Well, I know, Josh, also, you have been involved in some of the other ways too with the BLVCM. You're so heavily involved, and you really are a great example in leading the way, because you're part of this whole thing with the cash raffle tickets. You've been doing an awesome job in selling tickets and doing what you can to help the organization financially. So if you don't mind, share with us a little bit about being able to get out there and sell some of these cash raffle tickets.
Well, I will say, Chip, I hope you're not too disappointed when I win, because Jeff gave me a winning ticket. going to one benefit of helping my dad with the Walmart delivery is I'm always traveling in the community. So whenever we stop by different businesses, I'll walk in and ask them, hey, I'm with the BLVCM. I'm doing this fundraiser. Would you like to buy a ticket? The worst they could do is say no.
Right. Yeah.
We've been able to get a lot of tickets sold that way.
Yeah.
Most people will say either come to me next week and I'll get you. Well, some have said no, and some, that's fine. But, you know, most of the time, if they know who you are, they support you, and they know you're out there doing good work, they're out there to support you 100%.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I love the feeling when I walk up to someone and tell them about BLVCM and what we're doing with the cash raffle tickets. And then, like, I had a guy at church. He says, all right, I'll give you $100. I mean, man, doesn't that do something for you? I mean, now you want to go to someone else. And even if they only buy one ticket, you know, it really doesn't matter whether you sell one, whether you sell five, or whether you sell 100. I mean, it's a lot of fun getting out there and selling these tickets. And I can tell, Josh, from you, you're one of these guys that like to get out there and be able to sell these tickets.
It's the most enjoyable and fun thing in the world.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I tell you, Josh, I'm going to push it back over to bed, but I do have another question for you. Would you consider yourself to be an introvert or an extrovert?
I would say I'm a introvert extrovert.
He's a politician, isn't he?
Good answer, Josh. Good answer.
It depends on the subject.
Yeah. All right. How about this one, Josh? You know, when you get to be, you know, near 100 or 90, whatever it might be, what would you like for your legacy to be? What would you like for people, you know, to say, you know, I identify with Josh as someone who always whatever. What would you like for your legacy to be when your life comes to an end?
I want people to be able to say that they've been able to connect with me by knowing that they have a partner, someone who has a understanding ear, someone who can, help them accomplish whatever goals through giving advice or even getting down and doing the work himself, and also making sure the blind community is taken care of, and understanding that they could do so much as long as they have their own vision. They actually get down. They don't depend on other people. They actually help themselves, and they do it themselves. If no one else is going to do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, you know, Josh, I didn't ask the question, you know, anticipating that you would be leaving us anytime soon, because we expect you to be around for another 60 or 75 years. So, but I tell you what, Bev, his answers today speak very highly of what a wonderful young man that Josh is. I mean, just listening to him talk, I love his answers. It really speaks well and highly of what a fine young man he is. So with that, Beth, I'm pushing it back over to you.
And that takes me back to, not that he reminds me of my dad, but when my dad taught me to listen to others, you know, and we have to do that with our members to get to really know them, is to listen. And I remember when I had a conversation with Josh in the pool at Cobblestone, and with all the activity going around, and I just thought, this guy has got a lot of potential. We got to get him plugged in somewhere. And I think doing the membership chair has been a great place for him. I, at that time too, even legislation, I thought, okay, he's on top of that too. So very well rounded. And I don't mean you're fat, but you're just a well-rounded individual. But membership, and Josh, with this new organization, can you believe we got over 100 members in this very short amount of time? How can we retain membership?
Well, you know, I can believe it because, you know, look, we got a, such an excellent leadership, you know, just all around the board when it comes to all the different chairs, to our president, the VP, everyone.
Well, thank you.
Everyone's just so brilliant, you know.
It takes a team, doesn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, someone asked me, what, with this new organization, what can you offer people?
Oh, man, there's so much we can offer. You know, we've got chips, tech tips, which is always helpful.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Heck, on the server, he's helped me with several things.
Yep.
Then there's also the peer support, which is, I think, the most one of the most important pieces to it. Assistive technology, because, you know, them prices are always high. As is, but, you know, the prices continue to go up. Also, most importantly, is the biggest thing is the fellowship, being able
to
be with like-minded people.
Yeah, and that's what I love like about the peer support, you know, that Bev is doing, and now Kristen doing, is that people know that they can come to the peer support group, either Bev's or Kristen's, and be able to get the support, love, and understanding that they just so desperately desire.
Absolutely. That's great that they do desire.
And like I said, it takes a team. You know, it takes all of us. And what a lot of times on the peer support, when I started, I said, I don't have the answers, but we can give suggestions, and what works for you may not work for somebody else, but we give options here, you know, for others to be able to consider, and also feel like they're not alone, you know, and some of the things, like we've all ran into that wall, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, it's like when you go to a restaurant, maybe not every single thing on the menu you're going to like, but you, most places you'll find something you enjoy.
With
all the different, the different tools we have, not every single tool is going to help you get to where you want to be, but if you can find use in just a few, I mean, you're better off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we're here for, you know, is to reach out to others and to help. And I love the word community within our name, too.
Yes.
We are a community across the state. And I think that's with the membership reaching out across the state, and the PR is going to be so important. And look at all the PR you're doing, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You
Thinking of the community, I love our name, because, you know, not that there's anything wrong with, you know, the MCB name or the NFB name, but when you speak to the blind and low vision community of Missouri, you speak to a much broader audience. You know, yeah, we're going to focus on primarily the blind group, the blind population, but anyone who seeks the knowledge, the education, and seeks ways to assist the blind community is welcome as well. They're just as part of the blind community as the blind people themselves.
Yeah, great, great. I tell you what, I've so enjoyed talking to Josh Chip.
Yes, and, yeah, you bet.
And I know our listeners are going to really enjoy this interview too. But I'm going to ask you a question about your hobbies. You do a lot of work, but what do you do just for your own your hobby and recreation, or whatever? If it's just listening to music, kicking back. My hobby's knitting and gardening. Do you knit?
Well, he told me earlier before we began the broadcast that he told me really what he's doing with BLVCM is taking about 24 hours of his time, so he may not have time to do much else.
Oh, come on, you can fit something else in there, can't you?
No, I'm a huge reader.
Oh.
Yes, I think anytime I get to sit around and listen to a book, I take it. Sometimes I don't do a lot of television anymore. But I do a lot of like books. I play a little bit of video games. I work out. I try as much as I can to get into the gym. I'm an athlete after all. But yeah, no. Mostly reading and listening to books. I'm listening to music and playing video games and hanging out with the family. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Good answers. All right, Chip.
All right. Well, Bev, I was surprised you didn't ask him about his love life, but that's all right. Maybe we can ask him that privately.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Well, I got to ask you, Josh, do you do much with technology to enhance your independence?
Yes. I know a lot of my needs is covered by my wonderful iPhone. I always tell people to keep their Android devices away from me because I'm allergic.
You're allergic.
Sounds like me.
You get nervous, you start shaking, sweating.
So, Josh, what kind of medication you take for that?
Just pick up an iPhone.
Yeah, I might need to subscribe to that as well.
Well, you know, the most important, most effective medicine is a good old hammer to smash it. I use Bing AI a lot to read my mail.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful site. Wonderful app. I know Be My Eyes is. Helps me a lot.
Oh yeah, love it. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
There was one time, actually, funny enough, at Cobblestone, I got lost, and I
you
got
didn't
on
call me, Josh.
So I used Be My Eyes, and come to find out, I was literally like right next to my cabin. I was in the front yard in my cabin. I just could not find it.
You know, I got to tell you something on that. Joe Morgan was there, and late at night, it was after everything had closed down, and he got lost. And he tried to call me. And with the poor reception, I didn't get it till the next day.
Oh, my.
I called him back and I said, "Are you still lost?" You know, it was like a day later.
Well, Josh, let me ask you, are you more of an outdoorsy kind of guy, or do you like spending more time in that inside?
If I had my choice and I had time to just kill, I'd be inside. I'm like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It also depends on the type of year. Like, I love winter time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Especially this week when the weather's so beautiful.
I know. Yeah. So, but
speaking of the winter time, it's funny because, like, I love the winter, but my body doesn't because, you know.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Josh, we're just about at the end of our interview here, but I do want to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, from your learning experience and during your lifetime as someone who is blind, visually impaired, what kind of words of encouragement would you like to offer to someone who may be newly blind or someone that may even have been blind for quite some time? What type of words of encouragement would you like to offer?
I would say, never feel like you're alone in this. You've got a network and a partner in BLVCM that's willing to step in and take a lot of the load off of you, and always try to, instead of falling victim to the despair, always try to look for the answers to any kind of roadblock, and when you get the tools to kick the roadblocks down, do it every single opportunity you can.
Very good. Thank you so much for sharing that with us,
good.
Josh. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Well, Bev, let me ask you, do you have one last question for Josh as we close today's interview?
You know what I was just thinking, but I didn't know whether to ask him while we were interviewing or later. How old are you, Josh?
You know, I thought about that very question. Yeah.
Did you?
I'm 28.
28?
Yeah.
28?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
oh, what an inspiration
you
are.
You bet. That's right. Yeah. That's right. So, again, thank you so much, Josh, for being our special guest here today on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. We've really appreciated it.
Yes. Thank you, Josh.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself next time right here on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. Meantime, ladies and gentlemen, stay well, stay safe, and always be good to your neighbor. We'll catch you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.